Now, as we continue with our studies in the Epistle of James, I want to read to you again a few verses from chapter 2 of that epistle. The Epistle of James, chapter 2, reading at verse 14. What does it profit, my brethren, though a man say he has faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. I'm sure the Lord will bless to us the reading of these verses. Let us bow for prayer. O blessed God, we turn instinctively to Thee again. To whom can we come but unto Thee? For Thou art the eternal and the living God, and we need Thee at all times. We turn to Thee now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, beseeching Thee once more that Thou wilt speak to our hearts from Thy word, and grant, O God, we may be drawn closer to Thee, that we may have a greater appreciation for Thy word and for Thy beloved Son who died on the cross. Bless each listener now for the Lord Jesus' sake. Amen. Now I remind you that as we read through this great epistle of James, not a long epistle, just 5 brief chapters, but a tremendous amount of practical teaching. Now, from verse 14 of chapter 2 through to the end of the chapter, James is dealing with the subject of faith and works. In plain words, he's dealing here with what we might call the profession of the Christian. You remember in chapter 1, he dealt with the progressive life of the Christian. And then he dealt with the practical issues in the Christian life. In the earlier part of chapter 2, he was dealing with the sin of showing partiality. Now, in the closing part of chapter 2, he's drawing our attention to the fact that it's possible for people to make an empty profession. So he's dealing here with profession, that which is real and that which is unreal. Now, James is dealing then with the subject of faith and works. And the general trend of thought is this, that faith is useless and worthless and becomes simply an expression of one's own opinion if it is not accompanied by works. Now, he has already exhorted his readers to become doers of the word and not simply hearers of it. But in this section, he carries that a little further and presses upon us the startling fact that our words of belief or confession, or the reciting of some creed in which we state what we believe, that, James is telling us, is not enough. But our words must be exemplified by our works or our deeds. You see, it's not simply what a man says he is that counts, but it's what he is, what he does. James then, in this passage, is calling for action. And he will prove conclusively that there is such a thing as spurious belief. And of course, over against that, in contrast to the spurious belief, there is genuine faith. You know, people always try to imitate what is genuine. You never look to people trying to imitate what is spurious. Of course not. People only try to imitate the valuable thing. And so where there is a genuine article, where there is genuine faith, over against that, you get those people who will bring forth a spurious faith, a spurious belief, a spurious confession. This section will require to be studied with great care. Because remember this, the great enemy of God, who is also the enemy of our souls, has succeeded in creating much confusion in religious circles today by placing this passage of Scripture over against other Scriptures and suggesting that James and Paul taught contradictory doctrines. Now, nothing could be further from the truth, because, get this clear now, whether it's James or Paul or John or Peter, whether it's any of these men who are being used as the instrument of communication, we should bear in mind that it is the Holy Spirit who is the author. The Holy Spirit is the author of the book, and God never contradicts himself. But rather, it will be found, if you give careful consideration to what is written, that the doctrine of justification by faith, as set forth through the writings of Paul, and justification by works, as set forth in this passage by James, are complementary truths. Because Paul outlines in no uncertain manner that a man is justified by faith on the basis of the work that was completed by Christ. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That was the kind of summation of Paul's presentation of how a man was justified. However, James in this section here is not dealing with how a man is justified with God, but is asking for an evidence of the man's faith by his works before men. So, it's a matter of how am I justified before men? I say I'm a Christian. How do I prove that? By my works. Now, in this our day of easygoing religion, and this mass counting of professions of faith, so many converts, it will be found that the teaching of James is very much up to date. And it comes as a severe test, which no one should seek to avoid. Now, it may seem all right for one to be able to give a testimony and say that on a certain date I responded to the invitation and I walked the aisle and I made my commitment to Jesus. And such a testimony may only be a matter of words without reality. Now, James says, I am not convinced by what you say, but I will be impressed by what you do. In plain words, if your faith is a conviction, then I want to see your faith in action. If your faith is a principle in your heart, then I want to see it in practice in your life. Now, James is not contradicting other doctrines, but rather, he is proving that a man's belief will be expressed in a practical manner by his behavior. Now, with our minds clear on this basic principle that there is no contradiction in the Bible as to how a man is justified with God, we then face the question of verse 14. And we note that James is speaking here about the man who says he has faith. But what a man says is no guarantee of its reality. And not everyone who claims to have faith is a genuine believer. Now, in order to prove this point, James will call four witnesses who will all claim to have faith, but two of them will be dismissed as holding a spurious faith, while the other two will be upheld as being genuine examples of saving faith, for they demonstrated their faith by their works and were approved by God. That being so, look now at what he says in verse 14. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he has faith and have not works? Can faith save him? The point he's making here is this. Here is the man he brings forth as his first witness to the great truth that he is enunciating. Remember, what James is proving here, that it's not what people say, but it's what they do that will prove what they really believe. And he's going to stress that on the one hand there is that which is genuine and will produce the fruit in the life to prove it's genuine. On the other hand, there is that which is spurious and cannot produce the genuine fruit. Now then, in verse 14 he says there are some people who simply say, here is a man who says, I have faith, but he hasn't got any works to prove it. Now, says James, can that kind of faith save him? Get this clear in your mind, my friend. It is not the measure of faith that counts. It's the object of your faith. A genuine faith has a genuine object. But here are people who say they believe. And perhaps they believe certain things. But this kind of thing that they believe is not saving faith. Now James is going to prove this. He takes his first witness and he cross-examines him. And in the cross-examination, this witness completely collapses. Now, he takes up this illustration. If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you, that's one who says he's got faith, one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Now remember, he has put down a certain principle earlier in this same chapter, where he has said, if ye fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now then, here he takes up the illustration right here. Here's a man who says, I have faith, I believe. He can quote his creed. He attends to all his religious performances. But James says, now I want to make this very practical. I want to put you to the test. I want to know what your faith really is. I want to know if you have the genuine article. And so he takes us into the situation where there's a brother or a sister who is in need of the things of life. Now he says this particular person is destitute. This person is naked. They don't have clothes to wear. They don't have food to eat. They don't have anything in the house to warm themselves. Now, he says this man who says he has faith simply looks on them with a kind of pity in his eye and he says, I am willing to give you good advice. And the good advice he gives them is this, depart in peace and keep yourself nice and warm. Now, my friend, that's like saying, I have faith, but my faith doesn't work. I don't produce any evidence. If this person had the real thing, if this person had the genuine article, they would love the neighbor as they would themselves. Let me give you a very, very practical illustration. For example now, here's a dear old Christian, and he heard about a neighbor of his who was sick. Now, the neighbor lived in a little house where the only way of heating the house was an old stove. He could burn coals in that stove, or he could burn wood. And that was the only way in which he could heat his house, his little house. His neighbor heard that he was sick. He went to see him. He saw the situation. Now he did not say to the man, "Keep yourself warm." He went out. A short time later, he came back. And this time, he came back with a supply of fuel to keep the fire burning. He brought him coals and sticks, wood. He brought them in. He didn't need to tell the man to keep himself warm. When he brought in the coals and the wood, the man's wife knew to put them on the fire and kindle the fire and warm the house. That was faith going into action with regards to this man. He didn't give good advice and say, "Keep yourself warm." He didn't do that. But he took along what was necessary in order for the man to have the fire and warm the house and thus keep himself warm. Carry that a little further. This person in the text here that James speaks about, he was destitute. He didn't even have the clothes to keep himself warm. He didn't have the bed blankets. Now, it's an easy thing to say to the man, "Try and keep yourself warm," if he hasn't got the blankets. But if you can take a blanket along to the man and give him a blanket, he'll know to put it on the bed and keep himself warm. On the other hand, if he's going out and he's able to walk around but he hasn't got the clothes to put on in the cold day, you perhaps could find something in your own wardrobe that you could take along to him, pass on to him, something he could wear. You wouldn't need to tell him to put it on. If he was cold, he would put on the garment and he would keep himself warm. Then you carry the third thing into practice. James says this man is destitute also of daily food. He hasn't got the clothes to wear. Don't tell him to go and put on clothes if he hasn't got them. You give him something that he can put on. He's destitute of daily food. You take that man in and you give him a good meal, or else you take along the basket. And in your basket or your bag you have something for him to eat. And you take along that nice bag of groceries and you take them along to the dear old couple who perhaps are in need. You don't tell them to go and have a hearty meal. Just you leave the house and they very soon will cook what you have taken along. You see, faith doesn't give good advice. Real, genuine Christian faith gives the genuine article. It discerns what is required, and so therefore it is able to meet the need. Now that is what James is telling us here. So therefore he tells us that this man who says he has faith, what does it profit, my brethren, though a man say he has faith and has not works? Can that faith save him? Now, he's not suggesting that a man gets saved. He's not suggesting that a man becomes a Christian because he does good works. James is not saying that a man gets saved because he gives something away to the poor. He's not saying that you get saved because you take along groceries to those who are in need. That is not what James is teaching. But James is teaching this, that the genuine Christian who is already saved, when he sees the need with his brother or his sister, he will not close his eyes and he'll not close his heart to their need. Because when he sees his brother or his sister in need of something to wear, or in need of something to eat, or in need of something to keep them warm, he'll not give them good advice and say, "Depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled." He'll not do that. He'll take to them and give them that which will help them. "Notwithstanding, ye give them not those things," he said. "You only give them good advice." Now, you've got to give them the things which are needful to the body. What does it profit you to say you're a Christian if you don't live like one? What does it profit you to say you're a Christian if you don't act out in a practical way the teachings of Christianity? Now, says James, you've got the picture. You've got the man who prides himself in what he believes, what he professes. He says he's a Christian, all right, but when he's faced with the problem, when he's faced with the difficulty of the other man, he simply gives him good advice, closes up his heart, closes his eyes to the need and turns away. Says, James, I want to apply that to you. He says, even so faith. Faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. You see, he takes up the position now of two men facing up to one another. Both of them claim to have faith. And one man says, I have faith, even if I can't do those things that people think I should do. Nevertheless, I still believe. I have faith. James says, you're trying to tell me that you have faith without your works. But he says, I'll show you my faith by my works. Now, you ask yourself this question, my friend, very sincerely. You let it sink right down to the depths of your heart. Is it possible? There are multitudes of people today who claim to have faith. But there's nothing in the life to give evidence to it. You see, after all, what is faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, it's the evidence of things not seen, says Hebrews chapter 11. That is true. But remember, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And if I have exercised that faith in Jesus Christ, it's like a good seed that's planted into the ground. It'll produce, it'll bring forth. And the man who says he has faith and has trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, there will be the evidence in his life. There will be the product in his life of the fruit of the Spirit. And the first thing will be that of love. And if this man has faith in Jesus Christ, then he will begin to express in his life that love for others. That's what James was laying down in the earlier part of this chapter. If you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor. So James is going to bring out witnesses here. They're going to be put on the witness stand. People who claim to have faith. He's going to prove that two of them are not genuine. And then he's going to produce two who have the genuine article and prove it by their works. So here is the first witness he brings out. And this first witness is completely discredited because he has no works, nothing whatsoever by which to prove that he has faith. Now then, might I say this? As we look at ourselves here, and we go back again on this lesson, James here paints the word picture in clear colors so that there can be no misunderstanding the lesson. A brother or a sister lacks the necessary clothes to keep them warm, insufficient food to nourish the body, and some pretentious person expresses a word of sympathy, may even recite a prayer asking blessing upon the needy, then with a cold pat on the back, send them away with the exhortation to take a good meal, keep them warm, and all will be well. Now here is the portrayal of that man who says he has faith, but does not prove it by his works. Because a man says he is a Christian, that does not mean that he is one. Here is a man who claims to have faith, but is unmoved or unconcerned with the needs of others, including those within the Christian fellowship. All he has to offer is good advice, which is not the solution to the problem. But there is nothing practical about this man. His profession of faith is profitless and dead, because there is no production of the good works which are produced in the true life of faith. So the lesson to be learned from this first illustration is stated in verse 17, even so, faith, if it has not works, is dead, being alone. You see, it's true, we've been justified, we've been saved, not by our good works, but we have been saved unto good works.